Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everyone. This is Apostle Floyd coming to you again on a Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. I'm grateful that God has given me time and opportunity to be able to discuss some things with you. And it's completely a blessing to be available to do such a thing. Last Tuesday was as much eye-opening for me behind the comments that were made up until yesterday. Yesterday, with some people calling me. So I'm just honored and really it's a privilege to be able to do this. So before we get into anything else, I want to go into a word of prayer. And if you can just pray with your brothers for those that are listening online and those that will possibly call in, you know, let's just start with a word of prayer. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, God, we appreciate you, Father, for all of the things that you have done. And God, regardless of the circumstance or the situation that we are in, you have full control over it, God. Nothing can happen unless you allow it, and we can't move unless you give us permission to do so. So, God, we want to, again, dedicate this night to you, this hour that has been granted unto us, that we may share with your people insights, some things that we have inquired about and that we have not really shared in our churches today or even across the pulpit. So, God, we thank you, oh, God, let every ear that can hear, every spirit that is available, receive. We bless you, oh, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, uniquely enough, we are talking about rejection. And what makes this such of a difficult subject is that there is no one that will be under the ear of what is being said that can tell me that they have never felt rejection. It has come in so many different forms and shapes that sometimes it's just difficult for people to really deal with it. Some folks don't deal with rejection well. They lash out. And some people really go into a secluded place. And tonight I really want to kind of dive a little bit deeper into this. I know the topic is covering me, you know, because that's the topic that God gave me. And definitely we're going to get to it. I just don't know when we'll get to the crest of what this topic is. What we use for a scriptorial backing comes out of the book of Leviticus, chapter number 15. And most of you will read from verse 19 to 33. It deals with the woman dealing with what Moses is giving orders by God, Moses and Aaron, on how to deal with a woman that is unclean. And so one of the things we endeavored to dive into was what it meant to be able to feel rejection based upon something that you had no control over. And that's an interesting topic now, because oftentimes we want to tell people that, or people want to suggest the idea that the only reason why you are going through some of the things that you may be experiencing is because of something that you did. But, you know, when you don't have any control over the issue and you did not create the issue, you know, it's crazy that you can be rejected for something that you had no control over. And when we talk about the woman or women that has a issue and that they're declared unclean, and that's no fault of their own. Most of the time, people, when they hear the subject matter being unclean, they go to some type of sexual perversion or or you know, the way a person dresses, or the lifestyle that they live. And you know, here's an issue where we have many people that are unclean, but it's nothing that they did to become unclean. You know, and people in the church have a bad habit of pointing things out and directing that at folks that, you know, may be experiencing something. And so, you know, tonight, what makes tonight interesting is that we get the opportunity to really dive into this, because these are, as I spoke about them last week, rejection of bleeding issues. They are bleeding issues. And as much as we want to say that we don't have a problem, I would say 100% of the people that are alive today, 100% are bleeding on somebody, because you've dealt with rejection. And so there's so many different categories that we can go down the line. We talked about a lot of them last week. But, you know, this week I want to really deal with the secluding part of rejection, and how your bleeding issue that you have no control over can cause you to go into seclusion and make you feel alone. So there's a category here now that that we have to address, because some of us, when we are rejected, we get depressed. And in that depressionable state, we find ourselves alone in some cases, or we find ourselves with someone but yet alone. Because in depression now, in someone can describe it clinically what depression is, but many people are depressed and they're with someone only because they don't want to be alone. They can't fathom being by themselves. So they sacrifice who they are so they don't have to be physically alone, but emotionally and mentally they're by themselves. And so I want you to look at this closely now, because now you're bleeding on someone, you know, and it's no fault of your own that you were rejected in some cases, because you can be rejected for not being the right sex, gender, or color, or your eye color, or your hair is too straight, hair is too nappy, you don't have any hair at all. Money you make, money you don't make, where you live, where you don't live, who your children are, what your children have done, who your parents are, who your parents are not, or folks that you are associated with, can cause you to be rejected. Now, and oftentimes when it's a social or economical rejection, it puts us in a place of seclusion. Y'all bear with me now, because I'm not here to motivate you this morning, this evening. I'm not here to motivate you. I really want to give you some solid insight. It's important. It is critical in this hour, because we went through 1 year of being secluded and being left alone, so some of us couldn't deal with who we are, and we felt a sense of rejection. Oftentimes, we felt rejected by God. Why would God take me out of my norm? Why would he allow this disease to come, or this pandemic, or this virus to come upon us, knowing that, number one, we can't be by ourselves? Right, and that's for some. And there are some people that love being by themselves because they don't want to conform, and they don't have a desire to be like everyone else. So in essence, what they are saying and what they are doing is they're either positioning themselves to be alone with someone or be alone by themselves. Now, I want to say that again. They're positioning themselves to be alone with someone or be alone by themselves. Now, being alone with someone says you're physically there, but emotionally and mentally you're not. Because you're dealing with something that goes so deep within the inside of you that you haven't found a way to expose it and not feel ashamed about who you are. That's crazy. I know it is. You know, now what was even more in depth about this situation is the fact that we go on a daily walk of life feeling rejected, depressed, y'all with me, wounded, bleeding on people, finding ourselves unwanted, even we don't want ourselves, but in some cases push people to do harm to themselves because they feel like there's no out, you know. But before you get deeply into that, let's talk about, you know, the things that can drive you into depression and you don't realize that you're really feeling rejected. I hope the many of you that are listening in on this, right, that you can grab a hold of that. That, you know, you can be pushed into the point of depression, but you're really dealing with rejection. Bleeding now. What are the things that can push you into a depressive state that is generated behind being rejected? Well, all of these things are serious, but let's talk about something that is plaguing our society, not necessarily just the church, as we would call it, the body of believers, but it's attacking everyone, and that is divorce. I've never seen something that has such of a toll on a person's life than an individual that has went through a mind-blowing, a character-destroying action called divorce. And sometimes now we create these things because we have bad character, or, you know, we cheated, or we're doing some things that we should not have. But what happens when someone is confused behind, or not confused? Divorce, whether you are a 100% participant in it or not, can really attack you and move you into a state of depression. Some people want to celebrate when they get a divorce, and that's the outward appearance. They're excited. But when they get by themselves, or they find themselves trying to deal with being alone, they search for the physical or the physicality of companionship, because they don't want to be physically alone, but emotionally and mentally they're still by themselves. Let's talk about that now. Because you're disconnecting for someone, and whether it's an amicable situation or where the one wants it and the other doesn't, I don't care if it's in agreement, there's going to be moments in your life after that divorce, regardless of how that person treated you, you know, that you're going to find yourself feeling not good enough. Now, your friends can come by and tell you all the time that you're better than that, you know, or she didn't treat you right, or he didn't treat you right. And let's not get into distracted children going through this, but because we talked about that last week, but, you know, this week let's deal with the parents that go through the divorce and they now feel unclean. They feel nasty. They feel deserted. They feel left. They don't feel wanted. They not feeling good enough, because now the narrative that is being painted is against something that God instituted, which is marriage. Now watch it now. Because it didn't work for you, instead of you saying what God said, you're now putting vibes out, words released, emotions that are captivating people that will send a message in a derogatory state regarding marriage. Even now to the point where you don't want to be married, and then you'll say things, it wasn't meant for everyone to be married, and that is not, for a believer, I don't even know where they got that from. I have no idea. Because if God said it's not good for man to be alone, and he gives the man a helpmate, there are some things that needs to happen. And sometimes we circumvent the process that God has for us. And within that, we find ourselves wanting what we want, when we want it, and how we want it, regardless of who tells us we should not be involved in that or we should not do that. We do it anyway. Now, I wonder, you know, in full retrospect, you know, are we then bleeding? Excuse me. Are we bleeding at that point because we're rejecting what God is trying to tell us? And it's strange now. We don't want to be rejected, but we reject what God says because there is something out there that is more appealing to me than what God is trying to tell me. And now, since we reject God, we find ourselves in a struggle trying to hold on to someone that don't want us to hold on to. And that leads to what we call a divorce. Because now you have someone that is in the same bed with you with their back turned, looking at the wall, and they don't want to be nowhere near you. That's crazy. And so in the midst of that relationship, before you get there, you rejected God, and now you're being rejected, and for whatever reason, whether, you know, it's your fault or something they discovered that you don't meet the criteria that they thought or that you're not meeting up to their standards or they can't control you. But whatever their case is, they're now finding it needful to reject you. And so and when they're rejecting you now, it either forces you to go into a state of depression, questioning who you are, questioning if you're good enough, asking if there's anything wrong with you, you know, and you're posing these questions to your friends. And sometimes you're posing these questions when you're crying because you need to talk, you don't know how to talk, and it's just a difficult thing to grab a hold of. Something hard because there is someone in your house that you say you love and that say they love you, but they don't want to be around you. Y'all got to see what rejection really is. And oftentimes a person can feel rejected in a marriage when no one is rejecting them. And I'm talking to some church folk now. Because, you know, at that moment now, you may say God said when God hadn't said anything. That was all you. And now you have to deal with that. You have to deal with how you walked into something when God didn't want you to do it. Oftentimes God wants you to do it, but you just have to endure because there are some changes that God needs to make in reference to you. But in these acts of life, we find ourselves rejecting other people because we feel rejected. You know, rejection breeds rejection. And since rejection is something that is bleeding, I want you now to see that how you are bleeding on everybody that you come in contact with because you feel rejected. Think about it now. The person that you're bleeding on didn't do anything to you, but you're bleeding on them because you feel rejected, yet you have someone in your house, you have someone in your bed, you have someone in your life, they're there physically, but they're not there emotionally. And it is more women that look for the emotional connection from their spouse than men do from their spouse, because they're made up differently. That doesn't make the woman right, and that doesn't make the man wrong. That doesn't make the man right, it doesn't make the woman wrong. It's interesting now, because, you know, at one point in life, these spirits, the male and the female, right, inhabited one body. They were together. They were one. And in one, now allowing a spirit to speak to her caused a rift, a divide between them and God. And now here's the spirit of rejection coming in, because that spirit said, wanted to repeat what someone said, but they didn't repeat the entire portion of it. And they didn't say it the way God said it. And because you now rejected the voice of God, the very essence and the words that God had given you, because you wanted to appease the person that you was with, or you wanted what you wanted regardless of who it was, and you were not going to let anyone get between you and what God and what you desired. So that even meant that you was now rejecting God. Isn't this crazy? If we look at everything that we have done, and I mean everybody, there's nobody that, even myself, that can say they have never felt rejected. No one. You know, and the thing that's interesting about that is that we will argue the point of being rejected when we really have not been. Are y'all listening to me? This is critical for us. You know, this is something that is on point with where we are, because if we don't get this particular issue right, it's our bleeding issue. It's no one else's. It's our bleeding issue. And as much as this issue is bleeding upon us, we are doing nothing to fix it. Nothing. We have committed ourselves to no act of getting into or understanding or trying to be a part of the very thing that God has spoken to us. We're not trying to do it. And so it's critical, though, man. It's critical. If we look around us, as much as God has been with us, how many times have we entered into something with someone, and entering into that was a rejection to God? And we can make every excuse we want to. At the end of the day, we was rejecting God. This is something that in this church folk now, I want to be sure now I address this the right way. Because if God has said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. So how do so many of us that say we love God, but yet we can't hear his voice? If we did hear his voice and obey his voice, then we would be in multiple situations that we're in, and we would reject what God said to us. And our rejection towards God has caused us to reject other people and feel rejected when we have not been rejected. Can I touch a little bit on that? How does a person feel rejected and they're not being rejected? They start creating thought patterns in their head, and they allow, and people now start believing what they're saying. One of the thought patterns is, and they convince men that men don't let women into their lives, right? So they're rejecting the woman, and because he's not sharing a secret, y'all with me now? We talking about an intimate moment now, because when a man shares his secret, that's when he's being intimate with his woman. When he's able to open up and speak now about the very thing that he would not share with her. Some men won't share these secrets because in an argument, they don't want that secret being brought up and thrown back at them. So they don't say anything and they clam up because whatever that secret is, it's a wound. It's a bleeding issue. And it's okay if they tell it to their boy, their friend, their age, their homeboy, they tight with. They can tell them because there is no fear or retribution of that coming back on them. Doesn't mean that they did some crazy sexual act towards a child or homosexual. It doesn't mean any of that stuff. It doesn't mean that. Sometimes it just means that they had something that happened to them that was harmful, that hurt them. And they're not willing to share that with just anybody. So that best friend that they have went through the fire with knows what that is, and they will take that secret to the grave. They don't tell nobody. So with the woman now, she feels like because the man won't open up to her, that he's rejecting her. Because all she wants to do is help. He's not rejecting her. And if she feels rejected, there's something going on with her. All he's doing is guarding himself. Are y'all with me? And because she either gets close to this wound, or at one point in time they had an argument, and she went back and grabbed something that he said and threw it back at him, he's now quiet with her. Because he let her in, and behind letting her in, she decided that she was going to take something and throw it back at him and make a joke out of it. And now that has given him pause in sharing anything else with her. So her rejectable act of feeling rejected as if he won't let me in and she's tired because he won't let her in, that's her feeling rejected. But rejected because of what? It wasn't her that went through his issue. It was him. Now, which bears us now to really look into something because, you know, if she feels rejected because he won't tell her something, then something has taught her that his issue with himself is an issue against her. Sometimes that's true, and sometimes that's not. You know, we're not talking about blatantly where, you know, guy's been cheating or something of that nature, she's been cheating or he's been beating on her, which is wrong, you know, or she's been beating on him, which I've started seeing that more women are jumping on men and beating them because they believe that the law won't arrest them. That's not true anymore. So just look now. I want you to look at your own relationship. How many times do you, because you're not getting the answer that you want, that you feel rejected? You're not getting the attention that you want, and so you feel rejected. Think about that now. You know, something in your life has caused you to believe that you are not wanted, and it can push you into a depressionable state. Because if you feel as though the person that you love don't love you, and that's how you feel, doesn't make what you feel true, that's just how you feel. You know, then you can start responding and acting in a certain way. I heard somebody tell me one day, you know, and I often would hear her say this, that you know, men in her life was not interested in how she felt, her feelings. Not to say that she was wrong about that, you know, but what would cause her to believe that they wasn't. Now, they could have done a whole lot of things, you know, because they could be possessive or you know, they could start doing things that just wasn't a representation of her or what have you. But, you know, she felt rejected. you know, because they were not listening to how she felt. You know, now that is a possibility, that they weren't rejecting her. They probably heard what she said, but didn't understand what she was saying, because sometimes people talk in code. And they talk in code because they want you to figure out what they're saying and how they say it, instead of coming straight out and making it known. And you know, those are mind games. And when you put someone into, you know, feeling rejected, because you can't do that, you know, you now setting up a barrier so some can't cross back over from. You can destroy people by you feeling rejected when you're not, and then rejecting other people that's there for you. You know, they may not get mad because you don't let them in to know what's going on with you. They may not even, you know, let them in the issue, whether you let them know or not. But because you feel safe in saying something derogatory to them, you know, you could be creating something that can make them feel rejected. We live in a world today, my brothers and sisters, in which it's we make it okay to reject one another. We do. We make it okay to reject one another. And some people, when they get rejected, they go start groups that reject people themselves, because even though it's supposed to be all inclusive, they don't include everybody. They only include those people that feel what they feel, and they reject other folks that don't feel what they feel. I know this sounds real nuts, but it's true. We are bleeding on one another to the point where, you know, we don't know what a wound is. We can't find the wound. It's just blood is leaking everywhere, and you can't stop the bleeding. That's rejection in a whole different form. You're contaminating people everywhere you go, because you want to be accepted. You want to be okay with what you do. You want people to endeavor or be concerned about you, but you want that on your terms. And sometimes it just doesn't come that way, not on your terms. Sometimes you really just got to suck it up and, you know, see it for what it is. You rejected someone that is now rejecting you, or rejecting someone else. Can I give you a prime example? And sometimes we don't realize this, we do it, and it happens between parents and their children. It happens between parents and their children. As a child, if you disrespected your parents, you can best believe that some walk in life, your children won't disrespect you. You think about that now. If you disrespected your parents, if you rejected your parents, you can pretty much think in your own headspace right now that your child has done some things or doing something right now that they're just totally rejecting you. So your disrespect towards your parents created a virus for your children. You know, and it's hard to stop that, because, you know, you lost some respect for your parents. I know I got angry with my father. I'm being transparent, y'all. I got angry with my dad years ago about something that happened between me and him. Him being the adult, me being the child, I thought he went a little bit too far. So when I got old enough to make my own decisions, I ended up going in the military and getting away from my family. You know, I rejected those around me because I needed to be a part of something. And I found myself as a soldier being a part of a group, but I saw others that was being rejected. I never saw it that way, but that's what was happening, because if they couldn't make the training, they got kicked out. You know, they can cut the mustard. A dishonorable discharge is a rejection. And so, you know, and so that rift I had between my father and I, if it had not been for my second wife, which really fostered a relationship between my father and I to mend, and I tell people this story because my dad became my best friend afterwards, but, you know, the thing that I really wanted everybody to see was that me being me, I felt like that he was wrong. And for 7 whole years, man, he wrote me a letter. He tried to talk to me and stuff. I sent the letters back unopened. I remember my Aunt Mona sending me a letter. Boy, she ripped me up and down when she wrote me that letter, you know, telling me that, you know, that's your dad and you should be acting that way. And you know, regardless of whether they knew what the truth was or not, if they did, you know, they didn't see the reason to reject their eldest brother. Now that was critical for me, because those 7 years was something that held me up, because rejection breeds unforgiveness. And when I could not forgive, my life was not going forward. So, you know, my second wife fostered that relationship between my father and I. And one of the greatest lessons God has ever taught me, you know, and something that if I said one of the greatest accomplishments I ever had in life was when God taught me how to forgive. And I did not know that forgiveness was the road to dismantling rejection. You know, that, and I hear people say sometimes, I've said it before myself, you know, I don't need nobody, you know, I don't care what nobody thinks about me and so on and so forth. Man, that's crazy. You know, and we go to a certain point in life where, you know, we don't really care, but we care. And so the thing that really got to me in this process was that once God taught me how to forgive, it pulled me out of a corner, and it took the heaviest weight that one could carry in life off my shoulders. Because now, you know, I had done something, and, you know, didn't realize it would come back to me. And I have 3 kids, you know, and at points in life, you know, they said some disrespectful things to me, and I held back because I wanted to knock them out. You know, I wanted to just beat them down, but they're grown now. You know, but I oftentimes tell myself when that happens, doesn't excuse them, you know, but it lets me know that I have to break the cycle. Because as parents, if we don't break the cycle, we continue to allow things that have fallen asleep subvertly and waiting for the moment for someone to wake it up. Because if the wound has not healed, just because you're quiet doesn't mean rejection is gone. You know, doesn't mean that depression has left. Doesn't mean any of that. It's just dormant to the moment that it could be there for someone to open an old wound and pick at. Wow. Open an old wound and pick at it. That's what happens in divorces. You know, a man is not cheating because he can't be with one woman. You know, something has been put in his spirit as a young man, you know, that it's okay to have more than one woman. And when they grow up with that, and when that's been, that's a wound. That is a wound in their spirit. That they've been wounded to believe that. They've been wounded to walk around like that. And when that happens, they ended up dropping their seed in so many different places because what they're looking for is almost like a drug addiction, that first feeling they got when they got high. And so each one of these women becomes someone that they can interject their emotional baggage against or make them feel wanted as they get ready to reject them. Because once the sex is over, they discover that there's nothing to keep them there. And so then they reject the woman who may be pregnant at that time unknowingly, you know, or they reject her because she's only good to them to have sex with. And so when they reject her, she feels it because when she tries to reach back out to that person, then they get the cold shoulder. They don't answer the call no more. And now this drives them, some of them, into trying to figure out what's wrong with them. What was so good that he could have sex with her that became so bad that he couldn't even call her, you know, because he's dealing with a rejectable spirit that wants him to do certain things to reject other women. And this becomes destructive in our community. This becomes real destructive in our community. We're setting ourselves up to teach our young brothers and sisters, yes, right, brothers and sisters, that having sex with this person, that person, and this person, and they don't have a fear of AIDS anymore, you know, they're committing all these different sexual situations with different people is okay. And then without any equivocation or understanding or nothing that would discern what's going on, because they're not walking that way, right? Another life is birthed. But it's birthed upon rejection. Because once that child gets here, you didn't have no emotional connection to that woman. And she doesn't have emotional connection to the child. Every time she sees the child, she's going to be looking at you. And you have to pray to God that she don't put a rejectable spirit in that child towards you. Wow. Categorically interesting, man. It's amazing on how we get upset because we entered into a phase of rejecting people. And now our seed grows up rejecting us. Don't make it right. That's just what happens. And if we don't stop it, it will continue a living organism without any boundaries to destroy the lives of those coming behind it. Rejection. Amazing, man. I can't put enough words to it. And again, this is not your get emotional, feel good, you know, type of message. This is not what this is. Because I endeavor for everyone to dig now. To dig. How many people are we bleeding on in our relationships? Well, they are relationships. How many folks are we bleeding on from a wound that we are guarding and we won't heal from it? How many people now recognize our pain but won't help because we won't let them help us? Think about that. We will not allow them to help us. So we're going to guard the womb, make them feel like that we're rejecting them. We're going to go into seclusion and then wrestle with depression. And every time somebody pulls us out, we say we good. And yet we're contemplating taking our own life. Now, I've never done that. I never thought about killing myself. But I had to talk to people off the ledge. Because they were depressed. Sometimes not even knowing what they were depressed about. I wonder, dear heart, how long will you allow yourself to feel rejected? How long will you reject others because you feel like you were rejected? How long? Think about that. Nobody's trying to arbitrarily reject you, and there are some people that are. Let me take that back. Some folks are rejecting you, and then there are some people that are not. And because you have your guard up, not against other people, you're actually guarding a wound. Only you can see it. Only you know it's there. And sometimes it leaks so hard, people see it. And they're trying to get you help, but you just want to keep bleeding. Stop the bleeding. Time to heal. And you cannot heal until you allow God to cover you. Never get to it. God got to, he has to cover you now. Because once he covers you, you can start the process on them. You can, you know, with the help of the Lord, you can start the healing process. But it comes in how God reveals unto you how you're bleeding. When he comes back to you and tells you the very exact thing that you had to deal with, where someone told you you were not your father's child. And you grew up with that stigma, whether folks believed it or not, that's what you heard. You know, and it hurt. It was deadly. And because of that, you felt that sense of rejection in your heart, in your spirit, for years. And you don't really know how to let it go. You know? No matter how talented you are, who loves you, if you can't shake that spirit, it will hold you in bondage for years. And that's why I talked about divorce. Because, you know, that thing will torment you if you're not careful. But divorce is only just one of those things. We talked about, you know, being in a sexual relationship with someone, having a child, and you having to raise that child by yourself. Now men are having to do it because women want that freedom. That's just one way. You know, we have aspirations and people are aspiring to do great things as kids, and we become teenagers and we want to go to a specific college, you know, and so we work hard for grades or try to get those scholarships to a particular school, and we don't get in. Feel rejected. Graduate from college trying to get the job you want because you got debt. That student loan that you had to go get. And now, because of the color of your skin or because of your gender, you know, you can't work for this company. And you feel rejected. And you walk away angry sometimes. And sometimes people walk away and say, there just wasn't a job for me. Regardless of what your situation is or where you are, it's important that you allow the Lord to cover you. Because you've been rejected. They rejected Jesus. They didn't believe who he was. He knew it. And so in that particular moment that he did realize that they didn't want him, I'm not going to tell you it didn't hurt him, but he was still willing to sacrifice his life. Even though you rejected him, he still did not reject you. Spirit of rejection is real, ladies and gentlemen. It's real. It's destructive. It's dangerous. It has so many tentacles to it. That it can be reaching from so many different places to try to pull you under and keep you from being above water. Pull you down in the depths of the darkness to where you cannot see. But God is the one that is here through the power of Jesus Christ to pull you out of that darkness. I don't care if you're listening to me live right now or if you pull this up on the archive. The Lord will cover you. He's going to look out for you. And he'll cover you and lift what he's covering you with every now and then just to check on you and see how you're doing. He doesn't pull you out of society. He doesn't hide you somewhere physically where nobody can get to you. He puts you right in the midst of those people that have rejected you because you have to know within yourself that you've given the captain of the ship control. And regardless of what people say or what folks do, you're always going to trust and believe in the Lord. And when you're being rejected by church folk, that's a hard thing to swallow. But the only reason why church folk reject you is because they've been rejected. And it's much easier to reject you as you come than to accept you because hurt people want to hurt people. Only few folks are hurting that don't want to see anybody go through the pain they went through. But even that person is feeling rejection. They are fighting rejecting folks at the same time. Every time someone tells the young man no, he's trying to date the young lady, he don't fit the part. He's not an athlete. He's a musician or He doesn't dress well, you know. He can't afford to buy those clothes, and he don't have a good car. But the woman that he wants to talk to won't give him the time of day because he doesn't meet that financial standard. And everybody said, well, get over it. That's what everybody, but that doesn't say that he doesn't feel that sense of rejection. Because as you reject him, later on in life, I pray to God that he don't reject us. And those same things to young women that like these athletes. Growing up in high school, some of them haven't even got past that point yet. and they're trying to date the most popular individual. And that individual uses them. They end up pregnant. They're fighting to get through college and stuff. He goes to be an athlete, makes money, and the other won't hurt. And some women argue the fact that, you know, these athletes, black athletes, chase, you know, Caucasian women, and they want to marry them, and they won't marry the black woman or the African-American woman. You know, they won't do that. And so they feel rejected, and they build this thing up against all black athletes or black professional men. Then we have those that are part of the same sorority or fraternity. They go to the same church. They're part of the same country club, if they can be a part of one. Same Masonic order or something. And if you're not a part of that, you're not good enough. What's wrong with you? There are so many things in this world that is rejecting us. And we're giving it power when it has none. it doesn't have the power that we give it. So I want to pray with you right now. As we pray coming into this, I want to pray with you again. I believe we're going to get to the cover me portion probably next Tuesday. So if you can, just bow your heads with me. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus. God, we call out that depressive, that controlling, God, that destructive spirit, oh God, called rejection. And Father, we pray, God, as those people that listen tonight or that go back and pull up the archives on this will be able in a massive scale, Father, to stand in the mirror and see where rejection is ruling their lives. As much as we would think that we're fine and we're okay, we sing, we shout, we praise God, Father, we run into some issues. And so, God, I pray, Lord, that you speak into our hearts. Those that want to be delivered, Father, we pray, God, for deliverance for them, oh God. Those that haven't figured out what it is and really want to know, Father, we pray, God, that you reveal unto them this very hour what that is. We bless you, oh God. Father, be with us throughout the remainder of the week. Speak to us, oh God, as we celebrate our fathers, for those that are here and those that are gone. We love you, Jesus. Father, heal us, cover us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, I am grateful. I want to do something tonight before this is over. I have a few minutes. You know, we know that Sunday is Father's Day, but Sunday morning in Rome, Georgia, at Bishop Guthrie, Neilan Guthrie's is in the northern part of Rome, and I think the name of the church is Greater Christ Temple. I think that's what it is. And at 7 o'clock in the morning, Feed My Sheep Ministries is having something that I think you would love and you would be a part of. So as you're listening to this, I want to plug in Feed My Sheep Ministries in Rome, Georgia. It's an effort to vandalize or not vandalize, but evangelize for the people that don't go to church. You know, folks that just not churched, and they still haven't understood what's the big deal, you know. And so this is an opportunity for them to come together and evangelist Watana Hughley is the one that is leading this charge, and it's about feeding people natural food and then feeding them spiritual food. So and as much as I possibly can, as I do this weekly broadcast for an hour, I'm going to throw a plug in there for the things that I believe are happening that are don't get much notoriety. They're not doing it for notoriety. So, you know, I really want them, support them. And so I'm going to take off that Saturday before next Sunday. I'm going to go up around my hometown, and I'm going to stay up there that night so I can be that to support Feed My Sheep Ministry on Sunday morning, June 20th. I think it's Greater Christ Temple in North Rome. Bishop Neilan Guthrie is pastor there. So, dear hearts, God bless you all. I really do love you. Tell your friends and neighbors to be with us again, same time next Tuesday, as we again go into Cover Me as we deal with rejection. Look out for the next episode. Love you all. Look to see you then. And it's been a blessing. I love you all. God bless you.